This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
We are, of course, discussing watching The Wanted up in Penang, the CCTV cameras that have been installed up there. We've asked you a bunch of questions. We've got some responses on both Twitter and on WhatsApp. Let's go to Twitter first, Arf.
Yeah, so this comes from Rosaini, who says, must set out terms and conditions of its usage. Is there a competent ombudsman to refer to anyone, to refer for anyone who feels his or her rights has been infringed? Both government and citizens must be transparent, understand one another, and none should feel threatened by the usage of such CCTVs. Remember when we were doing the word of the day thing for a short while? Ombudsman.
There we go.
Yep. Word of the day.
Word of the day.
Johan on WhatsApp says, it's okay as long as my face is not on the list, which I guess also goes back to Rosaini's tweet, you know, in terms of making it transparent. How about making it available publicly of what information who's on this wants is like, right? So if you're going to put this out, the best way to combat security is to actually be a step ahead and just make it public. So once it's publicly available, it's like blockchain in a way, right? So you're making it publicly available and everyone can sort of like see it, and there's no one, you know, ledger to tweak and stuff. Darwin says, definitely a good thing to have CCTVs around for better safety for those complaining about privacy. If you don't want to be caught in public, then don't do it in public. And then Vivigan says, a friend of mine just said that he supports the responsible surveillance and data collection by governing bodies in the name of security and big data. We're only 3 days into 2019 now, but I think I've already found the cutest thing I've ever heard this year.
Right, you mentioned blockchain, and let's move on to this story about Ethereum. So if you guys follow cryptocurrency, of course, Ethereum might be looked at as the smaller brother of Bitcoin in the last few years. The cryptocurrency is going on an energy diet to compete with more efficient blockchains to cut its consumption by 99%. So as we know, Bitcoin soaks up most of the hype heaped on cryptocurrencies, leaving the younger and smaller sibling Ethereum in the shadows. But Ethereum is anything but small. Its market capitalization was roughly $10 billion recently. It has an equally whopping energy footprint, though. So Ethereum mining consumes a quarter to half of what Bitcoin mining does. But that still means that for most of 2018, it was using roughly as much electricity as Iceland. Indeed, the typical Ethereum transaction gobbles more power than an average US household uses in a day, and it's a huge waste of resources. Even if you don't believe that pollution and carbon dioxide are an issue, certain president, there are real consumers, of course, real people whose need for electricity is being displaced by this stuff. And that's a very direct quote from Vitalik Buterin, who is the computer scientist who invented Ethereum when he was just 18. So what they've said is, this year, the Ethereum Foundation, part of which he co-founded, and the broader open source movement advancing the cryptocurrency all plan to field test a long-promised overhaul of Ethereum's code. It's not going to be a fork, it's something different. If these developers are right, by the end of 2019, Ethereum's new code could complete transactions using just 1% of the energy it consumes today.
Wow!
So if you don't know how it works, cryptocurrencies generally are mined using this thing called proof of work, in which a whole bunch of different miners race to cryptographically secure transactions and add them to the blockchain's distributed ledger. Essentially, it's a winner-take-all kind of transaction. But they're moving away from proof of work to this thing called proof of stake, which is an alternative mechanism for distributed blockchain that was first applied to a cryptocurrency with the launch of Peercoin back in 2012. So instead of millions of processors simultaneously processing the same transactions, point of stake randomly picks one person to do the job, or one machine to do the job. Slightly different, though. The participants are called validators instead of miners, and they keep, and the key is to keep them honest. And they do this by requiring that each validator puts up a stake. So essentially, you put a pile of ether up in for this. So you put your collateral down. So the more you put down means the more chances that you have of actually mining that stuff and validating that stuff and making more coins. And that's the key to it. Instead of it being spread out amongst a whole bunch of people, you get a bit you get a bit, you get a bit.
It's also, I guess, you know, cryptocurrency has been around for like a number of years now, I think like 6-7 years. Obviously, you know, it started off like last year, in the early last year, in late 2017, it was, you know, it just, it went up to
it
the
boomed.
Top of the hype curve, right? Mm. And then it's, you know, it's falling down, and it's you know, kind of, in a way, some say it's probably still going to fall even further or so. We've no idea, but it's the hype curve that I've spoken to many scientists, well, not specifically related to cryptocurrency, but just scientists in general in the tech space. Most of them have mentioned that, you know, whether it comes to, you know, AI, whether it comes to blockchain, cryptocurrency, e-wallets, and all this kind of stuff, it's a hype curve. When you have something that is deemed revolutionary, will change the world, you will see at its peak, and that's where cryptocurrency was. And then when it's at its peak, it's where all these issues will be brought up, and then it will crumble, and it will, some will crash and some will burn, but some will actually tweak. And I guess this is where probably like Ethereum is tweaking, because power usage was its biggest, like, you know, baggage that it was carrying around, even though it's trying to run and fly ahead, or they call it like, you know, fly to the moon and stuff. Like, it couldn't do it because there was this luggage that it's using so much of power and energy, like Iceland and stuff like that, right? So maybe now it's the time where you see a lot of this work, or this proof of work or proof of concept, you know, go back to the drawing board, and then find a way that it could be minimized in terms of power usage, and find a real use case, which then I think you would probably see blockchain being adopted. Because at the end of it, it's the blockchain model that everyone wants to jump on this.
Exactly. Once they've solved the energy issue, you know, I think you're going to start seeing that hype curve start to ramp up again, because it's like, oh, now it's gaining interesting again. We don't have to worry so much about the environmental impact, which was a big issue.
It was
like
a big issue, yeah. And because you get graphic cards being, you know, extremely high. Arvin, poor Arvin, you can't buy a laptop for the whole of 2018 because they were just so expensive.
Yeah, the graphics card were like, I don't know how the price spiked, but yeah, it spiked because of things like this. But yeah, I think if the hype curve starts again, then it'll be way longer than what it was in 2017, 2018, right? Because it should be able to stabilize. That's what a lot of people say, that when it happens again, it will be a more stable hype curve.
Yeah,
it won't
course,
peak
yeah.
with that kind of like triangle.
Like 150,000% in a day.
Which is not unusual.
It wasn't unusual in the crypto world.
Okay, we have to wrap up for the day, folks. Thank you very much for all of your contributions today, and for feeding back on that story regarding the AI up in Penang. AI and, of course, the cameras, facial recognition cameras up in Penang. Kind of a mixed bag. You know, it's about 50-50. 50% of you saying, you know, I feel safer. The other 50% saying, you know, it's an invasion of privacy. But there's also, I think, that overlying thing of we're a little bit worried about what happens with the data. I think that's the one thing that all of us in this room can agree that we are a little bit concerned
and with. And let's hope we do get an answer as well of what will happen with the data.
Indeed. So that is the story that we started off with. We then moved on to...
We spoke about how Netflix has a new CFO, and he might help them make their content more addictive.
And of course, it don't matter if you're dead or alive, because holograms are back and they will be resurrecting dead artists. Amy Winehouse is set to tour the world in 2019.
Indeed. We're also then moved on to a story about how Ethereum plans to cut its absurd energy consumption by 99% sometime this year. If you missed any part of this show, don't forget you can head over to the BFM website and listen to the podcast there. We have an app as well. It's available in the Apple App Store or Google Play. And of course, we are on Spotify, not Netflix just yet. Mm-hmm. But if you want to stick around, there is the Breakfast Grill replay that's coming up in just a few minutes after the 1 o'clock news. Since the introduction of e-hailing services, taxis have been struggling to stay relevant amidst a changing landscape. The Breakfast Grill spoke with the CEO and founder of Big Blue Taxis on his thoughts of the e-hailing services and how he plans to take on the challenges in 2019. That's all the time we have for today. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow at noon for Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.